Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Influence with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Where we shine the spotlight on business leaders. Today, we're looking at a Singapore-based enterprise, EcoSoft. They're a social enterprise aiming to address the global challenge of water shortages, scarcity and quality by providing water management solutions. EcoSoft was founded by Stanley Samuel, and Marcus Lim, two graduates of the Tsinghua INSEAD Executive MBA, and their work has transformed communities and the lives of thousands of women and girls who have been able to return to school or learn economically useful skills since they no longer need to spend hours of their day collecting water. EcoSoft's vision is by 2050 to treat over 1 trillion litres of water every day and enable 10,000 communities to become water smart and protect and clean and restore 1,000 water bodies. They've won several awards for their work. The $600,000 Sheikh Zayed Sustainability Prize in the water category. Back in 2019, their work was lauded by INSEAD for their measurable impact. The company won the Business as a Force for Good, or BAFG Award, for their impact, really. And the award, by the way, BAFG Award, is in its fourth year and for the first time is open to all Singapore-based companies. We look forward to the award ceremony. It's going to be held 16th of March. But for a glimpse at what the judges at these awards are going to be looking for this morning, to help share more about their award-winning project is Marcus Lim, co-founder and CEO of EcoSoft. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Michelle. Great to be with you.
Great to speak with you. Listen, EcoSoft was established back in 2012. I understand it was a relatively small team. Take us to those original days. You know, what led to the founding of EcoSoft?
Yeah, you're right. It was a very small team. It was essentially myself, Stanley, and a PowerPoint.
Oh, wow.
Very small team. So none of us came from the water industry. I worked as a management consultant. Stanley spent most of his career with Nestle selling coffee. But both of us decided there's something important for us to get on this in terms of water management, in terms of creating a social enterprise. And that's how we quit our jobs and then started EcoSoft.
Incredible. And in those early days, you and Stanley and the PowerPoint, was it always on that PowerPoint screen that you were going to be a social enterprise?
Oh, yes, from the very first day. I mean, we both strongly believe that it's not just about doing business and, you know, generating a profit. There has got to be greater purpose in the business. This is something that myself, Stanley, believe so strongly in. And INSEAD helped us a lot. We both attended a social enterprise program in INSEAD. During one of the courses, I mean, we won the first prize in our business model. So you can say that was the first recognition by INSEAD.
And did that sort of give you a boost as the both of you in terms of, yes, that this plan has legs?
Yeah, that kind of confirmed that we were not so crazy. It is actually possible.
That is hilarious.
Okay.
Thank you for the candor.
Eventually that we recruited and we got some of our classmates and we got a professor to invest in the company.
Okay.
So that proves that we were on the right track. Yeah.
So we know that it's such an important resource, but not all our listeners may be clued into water markets. Tell me, in terms of your opinions, is water a public good or a private good or not?
You know, water is essential for survival. And in my view, you know, nobody should die because of thirst, right? So that, in a sense, is a public good, in that we have to assure that everybody has the basic access to water for their survival. But if you also look at it from another perspective, we need maybe 3 liters or 5 liters of water per day. You know, I can't drink more than 5 liters of water, or beer for that matter. But on the other hand, say in Singapore, the average Singaporean takes in about 140 liters of water into the homes. So that's a delta, right? So the rest of the water that is not used for drinking is used for shower, toilet flushing, you know, landscaping, washing the cars, laundry, and so on. So a lot of it is for to support a modern lifestyle. And, you know, there is a choice that we make, and some people are more frugal. Some people are, you know, a little bit more generous in how they use the water. But there's a cost to providing that convenience and that luxury. There is an infrastructure investment needed to collect the water, to treat the water, to store the water, and to supply the water when a person wants it. So there is a service to be provided, and you know, consumers then have to pay for that service. So in that sense, you know, to a good extent, water is also an economic good.
And by that, you mean the process of decision-making of the allocation should go beyond the financial?
That's right, that's right. A person should also pay, you know, for that service, for the good service of water.
Should pay, but at the same time, you're a social enterprise. So at the heart of things, it's going beyond profit and finance, right?
Yes,
the allocation.
All right.
How does your company live up to helping communities manage? You say on your website that what you do is manage water from source to source at source. So how do you help communities do this?
So if you think about a building, and these days you talk a lot about renewable energy, a building can produce electricity by installing solar panels on the rooftop. So if I use the same analogy, a building can also produce water, in inverted commas, produce, by harvesting rainwater and by recycling the water from within the building. So generating alternative sources of that water. So that's what we do to provide technologies and solutions for the building to be able to capture the rainwater, to be able to conserve water within the building, and to be able to recycle that wastewater that it generates itself. So in Singapore terms, you can talk about, you know, producing new water on site. And that's how the way we can actually multiply the water resources available. Because we can, for example, recycle 50% of the water, we can double the water supply.
So create new water bodies on built properties.
Yes.
So your water management solutions have enabled hotels and communities, schools, even villages. Can you share which communities have been helped by your water treatment solutions? Maybe some communities in Asia.
Essentially all over Asia. Well, we are working in Singapore, and in Singapore, like the PUB is encouraging some of the large water users to recycle and reuse the wastewater on site. So we work with commercial buildings, we work with factories, semiconductor, food and beverage, pharmaceuticals, and so on. So in Singapore, we also work outside of Singapore, in India, in Vietnam, in Philippines, and so on, where the municipal infrastructure is inadequate. And there, communities are struggling to find water, and a lot of the water pollution is caused by the discharge of wastewater going to rivers and lakes.
Where is the need greatest in that area?
Well, if you look at that, I would say out of Asia, India would be the biggest potential as a market and as a region for impact. If you think about India, about the same population as China, pipe water coverage is 70% or more in China. Pipe water coverage is less than 20% in India. So really, really a long way to go.
I'm Michelle Martin in conversation with Marcus Lim, co-founder and CEO of EcoSoft, right here on Influence, where we invite leaders in the business world to share their thoughts with us on current trends. Can you share with us what challenges you've faced in terms of meeting your vision of helping communities become self-reliant and water secure?
Yeah, we would think that water is such a human necessity and there would be a great inclination for people to pay for water services and for water. But that's not always the case. In fact, when we started going to markets like India, we find that there was a high reluctance of people to pay for water. So we can think about it like, you know, healthcare. You know, we all believe that, you know, health is important to us, but not everybody is keen to buy health insurance or pay money to go for a medical checkup. So I think the same kind of human psychology is somehow, you know, applying in this case. So that's one. Even in very underprivileged communities, I think when we started off, there was also a lack of trust in what we do because people have gotten used to, you know, what they were, you know, facing, the kind of challenges they were facing. And here's an organization coming from Singapore and says that we can do all these wonderful things. And so there was that distrust, you know, whether we are just coming in to sell them a pipe dream or we just want to take whatever little money that they had and then take it away and bring it back to Singapore.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. I read with interest about the impact that your work has had on villages, and particularly girls and women. I wonder if you can share with our listeners a little bit, translate for us how your work has impacted women in these communities.
Yeah, unfortunately, women and girls are most affected by the lack of water and sanitation, especially in villages. In many villages, rural communities around the world, women are tasked with the very difficult job of fetching water. In some cases, people have to walk hours just to fetch, you know, a bucket of water over the head back to the home. So this is a serious issue because, you know, it's not just about water for drinking. If you're really going to fetch a bucket of water over the head, you know, I walk 5 kilometers, you're not going to use that bucket of water just to flush the toilet. No way, right? So without water, sanitation becomes a problem. Okay. Now, without sanitation, then other problems start to kick in. Health problems, you know, menstrual health problems. And in some of the cases, it becomes a women's safety problem because of this lack of a proper toilet. Women go out, defecate in the open, and the women who get molested and get raped in those kind of situations. So very sad situation. So what we have seen is, you know, water does transform lives, especially for women and girls who ironically have the least say in village affairs. Mm.
Incredible. Really incredible. What are your views on how businesses can make this idea of social good a reality without sacrificing profit? We talk a lot about the triple bottom line, but can businesses make a social good a reality without sacrificing profit?
Yeah, we are trying to make that a reality. There are two parts of our business. There's one part of it, which is commercial, and provide solutions to commercial establishments, factories, commercial buildings, developers, and so on. And there we have to be as competitive and as innovative as any other company. And there's another side of our work, which is solutions for rural communities, like those girls, those kind of situations that I described. And in those cases, we have to be as compassionate as we can be, as any NGO would say. And we think about it, traditionally, the management paradigm is that these are two conflicting objectives. Mm. We try to achieve one, we tend to sacrifice the other. But we don't think that's the case. You look at us as individuals, and all of us have two sides in us. You know, a very well-accomplished professional like yourself, Michelle. You know, I'm quite sure you put in a lot of effort to get to where you are today. But there's also another side of us where, you know, we see a lot of professional volunteering their time for social causes that they believe in. And this is the same individual. And organizations are simply an expression of who we are as human, as individuals. And if that being the case, then it's only natural that organizations also have the commercial element in it, the economic element, and also the social element as part of it. Okay. We have seen that in through our experience over the last 10 years, there are really also many aspects of the social work that we are doing that has helped us in an economic and financial sense.
Well said. So your company won the Business as a Force for Social, for Good, the BAFG Award given out by Business School INSEAD, which you attended, you and your co-founder. What advice would you give to companies? Can you sum up for us, you know, your experience so far, everything you've learned? What advice would you give to companies who want to either start a company for social good? Maybe they just want to sharpen the focus on social good.
Yeah, and I've heard Dean Ilamilov on your program, and he's also very passionate about this. And INSEAD, as a business school, is really leading the charge on this topic. And, you know, for us, we believe that businesses, they are among the most sophisticated institutions that we have. So businesses really have to be engaged. And it starts, you know, with business school education. And so we all only have the power to take the first step. Mm-hmm. Stanley and myself, we knew nothing about water, but we had the power to start up the process. And what I would encourage budding entrepreneurs is figure out what matters to you as an individual, start the process, and see where the process takes you.
Wise words. Such insight. I'm glad you caught conversations with the dean. We always have great input from Dean Ilyan Mihov, and it's been equally fabulous speaking with you. Thank you, Marcus, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Marcus Lim is co-founder and CEO of Ecosoft.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.